start off this evening telling you that I told Jonathan I usually speak loud enough to where I don't need this thing, but he said he might record it also. But I wanted to tell you how much I'm honored to be in your presence this evening in this room. Obviously, each one of you are serious about prayer, and the reason why I know that is my name was on the bulletin to speak tonight, and you still came. So I know that you're here because of the power of prayer. I'd like to start off telling you that I don't mind telling you that I'm a little bit uncomfortable speaking to y'all. Something you've got to realize is over almost the past 35 years on Sunday nights, my audience normally consists of kindergartners through up to teenagers. And I have thoroughly loved doing that and spending time with your children. So in order for me to be comfortable speaking to y'all, I need to kind of visualize in my own mind that I'm looking out at a bunch of kindergartners. So don't be surprised if I veer off and tell you a story. Children love stories. But then again, if you think about it, Jesus himself told a lot of stories. And why was that? Because he was speaking to the children of Israel. So children like stories. So I may tell you one this evening. But first, we actually need to get a couple of rules if that's the case. There is one rule. If I ask a question and you want to answer, and you know the answer, raise your hand. Don't blurt out the answer. And I may call on you or I may not. And the most important rule is, look beside you. If you like sitting beside the neighbor that you're with, keep your hands to yourself. No talking. Don't be irritating them, or you will be asked to sit with Miss Lisa, and you do not want to do that. Did you have a question, sir? Rule number three is, if you need to go to the bathroom, you hold it for the next 15 minutes, because you had that opportunity, you should have taken it. This is going to be just kind of a refresher course of a little word called accountability. I really kind of been led to talk a little bit of the awesome responsibilities we have as Christians and the accountability that we do have to others and to our Lord and Savior. And I think what really prompted me to start thinking about this topic was, I know y'all watched the news, this Boston Marathon bomber was sentenced to, his sentence was to death. And, you know, my first reaction was, yeah, he's getting what he deserves. You know, he's being accountable for his actions. But, you know, when we all stop and think about that, are we not just as much a sinner for as he is, and we're accountable to the same punishment? So, you know, wouldn't it be fantastic in the next 2 years or ever how long it takes before that sentence is ever carried out that he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? So we need to be praying for this young man. But with that said, I'll try to get started. I said something about, I've got a definition of accountability: accepted or bound to answer for one's actions or being responsible. So I'm going to tell a little story. I need you to kind of visualize a long country road. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's kind of misty, rainy. There's a carload of teenagers going somewhere, and of course they're running late. And they come up on a car who is going very slow. In reality, the car is doing the speed limit. So the teenagers, you have a young driver who's got all of this power at his control, and his peers are screaming past the guy, he's going too slow, you know, because we need to really make up for that 5 seconds to get there, you know. So a decision has to be made. My question to you is, who is accountable for their actions? All right, I'm asking a question. Here's your opportunity. Anyone want to answer? Who is accountable? Nicholas, I saw your hands first. Who? Whoever blurt out, I'm going to move you. Who? The driver. Children like candy, so here's a fresh Snicker bars, Nicholas, for a correct answer. Now, I'll probably have more involvement. I have another Snicker bar. Who would you like to venture was the driver besides Nicholas? Who was the driver? Mark. Greg Whittemore was the driver. Y'all can kind of put two and two together as to who was in the car. I'll see if he remembers who the other passengers were after a while. This was not rehearsed. Yes, I was the driver, and I was very much accountable that day. Yes, I threw that Ford up in third gear and very so cautiously passed that car to make up that time we were losing. In my haste, I didn't notice that what I had just passed was an unmarked state trooper. So my accountability began very quickly. In my rearview mirror, I see this eerie blue light. And there was a church. What road was it on? Very, very good. With this, I didn't think you'd remember this. Anyway, there's a church up at the top. I pulled into the church parking lot, and I look in my side mirror. I'm already sick to my stomach. And the largest state trooper of North Carolina walks up to my window and asks me to come join him for a consultation in the front seat of his cruiser. And that wasn't the only eerie color. I know I was probably green. And he proceeded to talk to me about my accountability and the choices I made. But you know, to prove that God loves the ignorant and the ones who make stupid mistakes, he asked me, where were we going? And I told him, I said, we're going to Chapel Teen, sir, at Shannon Hills Chapel, and we're running a little bit behind. He did not give me a citation, but he gave me a warning. So that doesn't mean you kids can get away with anything. That may not happen again. So I'd like to talk a little bit about accountability, as especially we as Christians. It starts at an early age, matter of fact, when we're children, especially, when we can start understanding things. Ephesians 6, 1 through 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Colossians 3, 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You know, I was very fortunate and blessed. Well, it was only by the grace of God that I was saved at 12. Yes, I felt like I was a good child. I'm sure I was very testing to my parents and my Sunday school teachers and my other teachers in school. But, you know, I tried to obey my parents and honor my parents. I didn't want to do anything growing up that's going to reflect back on my parents, their reputations, or anything to hurt them. And you know, as far as when I say children, honoring your parents does not stop at age 21 when you think that you're an adult. It continues on as long as your parents are living. We're always going to be their children. My mother's going to be 91 years old, and I'm almost 58, and she is still my mother, and I'm going to take care of her the best that I know I can because I'm accountable to my parents. As we get a little bit older, you know, the days of playing baseball or out there washing the car and admiring it, you know, one day you kind of look over and you go, whoa, where did she come from? You know, she was that ugly thing just a couple of weeks ago. Now something's happened, and before you know it, you've fallen in love. And before you know it, you're walking down the aisle, and now you're married. Well, you've taken on another whole different realm of accountability. In God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In like manner, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourself to your husbands as to the Lord. You know, did Christ love the church? Oh, yes. He died for the church. He died for each one of us. Would I do that for my wife? Yes. I love my wife very much, and I want her to be, I am accountable to her to take care of her and to love her, to supply her needs, to be there for her and to listen to her. My job, every now and then, I may have to travel. I want her to be feel secure that where I'm going, I'm not out there having a good time and running around, and I'm there to work, and that I'm going to come home to her just as soon as I possibly can. So I want her to feel secure. So the same for wives and their husbands. We are to love our spouses as Christ loved the church. There's no greater love than that. You know, usually with marriage comes something else. Well, here comes a child, and in some cases, two, three, and there's some of you who don't know how many you have. But you talk about accountability. I mean, now you've taken on, you know, my parents. Now I got a wife. Look at all these kids I got. You know, I'm accountable to every one of these people. God's Word tells us that we are. What does it tell us about children? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Proverbs 13:24, Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of God. Me as a father, you know, it is my responsibility. I'm accountable to my children and how they grow up. It's my responsibility to be a spiritual leader and to teach them from God's Word, to bring them to church. When these doors are open, it's my responsibility to have my children here, be involved in their youth ministries, their Sunday school, their memory verses. All of these things are part of being a parent, and it is our responsibility because I am accountable to raise these kids so that they can grow up to be leaders of the church. They can grow up to be great citizens within the community, or even leaders of our country if God sees fit. Training them is one thing, but you know, there's also a lot of things that kids don't like about these verses. We also have verses like Proverbs 22:15. Well, before I read that, I read a lot of verses on this. It revolves around discipline. I'm sure every one of you guys have been disciplined. I was disciplined. Something I don't understand, I've raised three boys, or I'm still in the process of raising three young men. But it must have been very easy to raise daughters, you know. And I can back that up right here. If you look at these verses that are found throughout the Bible, listen and see if you can pick up on this. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth a rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he ain't going to die. He shall not die. I may have put a few of my own words in there. And that's what I would tell them. Y'all aren't going to die from this. Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And my sons know they're not supposed to bring their mother to shame because that's one of the worst things they could ever have done. So, you know, that explains a lot. That's the reason why, evidently, is why my wife is never wrong, because she never did anything to deserve a beating. We are supposed to train up our children, and we are supposed to discipline our children. And I think we all know how we're supposed to do that within reason, because it would not be in God's Word if we were not supposed to discipline our children. As we get older, we're married, we've got children, hopefully in this day and time, we've got a job. So we're accountable not only to these, but we're accountable at work and to those who govern. Ephesians 6:7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not men. I don't see any slaves in here, but I think we all may have had a job at some time or another. We probably thought we might have been. But I think in this reference, what the Word of God is telling us, you know, we're accountable to our employers, who we work for. We're also accountable as employees to treat our employers to treat our employees with respect and with taste. And, you know, the work that we do, no matter what it is, I mean, if it's to, my job that day is to go out here and dig this ditch, by the time the end of the day comes, if he's going to be my employer and I'm going to do this as unto the Lord, that is going to be the prettiest ditch that's ever been dug, you know, for this employer. I'm supposed to do it the absolute best, like I'm doing it for God himself. So we're accountable to those we are employed with. And also, I put that into our government also. We have rules, we have taxes, we have ways of doing things in this country, and we need to abide by the rules and the laws that are set for us, because God has, whether we like it or not, God has put these people in these areas of government. He knows who's there, and he put them there, and he can also change that, and he can change our country. You have to bear with me a couple more minutes. I know I'm going over a little bit. We're also accountable to one another. You know, I am accountable to you guys in this room. We are all accountable to one another. When I go out in public, I represent. If I'm going to tell people that I go to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, then when I go out in public, I want them to know that I represent what this church stands for in this community. And I don't want to do anything to jeopardize you guys either. We are all to work with one another. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Galatians 6:22, carry each other's burdens. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And verse 25, let us not give up as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. We are to work together as the church. We all have different tastes, different personalities, but we all have something in common, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are here to pray for one another. We are here to encourage one another and lift each other up, and because that's in God's Word, and that's what we're supposed to do. And last but not least, as a Christian, we are accountable to God. You know, believer or unbeliever, we're all accountable to God at some point or another. Everyone is going to realize that at some point or another. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. But you know, we as believers, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, this verse reads, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You know, we as believers, we are all going to are held accountable for what we do in this brief time that we have on this earth. You know, nothing is unseen. God sees everything we do. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to be rewarded for everything that you've done, every word that you've said for him, every lesson you've taught as a Sunday school teacher, I keep wanting to say Kids for Christ, but Christ for Kids, you know, that is a ministry there. And I know my wife goes and helps with that, and I've thought about this a lot. I know it's easy to come home and be discouraged and wore out some days because you just don't feel like anything was accomplished. But I'm telling you, you guys that are helping with that ministry are going to receive some kind of great award for the time that you're spent, because I guarantee it's sinking into some of those children. Whereas I talked a little bit about, we as a parent, it's our responsibility to raise our children. These children here and so many others like them don't have that luxury. You know, what they're going to get is from the time they're spending with you guys, you know, and you will be rewarded for it. You know, as working with, I'm trying not to get off track, but working with kids for so long over the years, and you as Sunday school teachers and youth leaders, you look around you, you're seeing kids now within our own, they're not kids anymore. We're seeing deacons that came through the Sunday schools. We're seeing them that came through the youth groups, the Whirly Birds, Kids for Christ. Scott's not here tonight, and I was thinking about him. I used to be one of his youth leaders in teens, and now he's Sunday school superintendent. I mean, that is a great feeling to know that, you know, something that you've said, something that you could have said, it doesn't have to be one of these kids here, but one of these children that you're working with over at Jones School, you know, something is liable to have sunk in, and later on you may see that fruit later on in life as you're walking down the street and you pass them. So keep up the good work, because those works, you're going to be rewarded. We're all going to be rewarded. I think, you know, and this is my opinion, the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not so sure. I know that he's going to reward us for everything that we did for him. But sometimes I think that he may bring up the fact, well, Greg, why didn't you do this when you had the opportunity? That could have been something else. Or why didn't you do that? You could have said a word here. You could have, I don't know, until I actually get there. So I guess to sum it up, do as much as you possibly can now to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Father, because that's what we're here to do. Accountability is a great thing. Our society today, I think, don't want to be accountable for a whole lot. That's the reason why you see so many marriages that are destroyed. You see so many children without parents because people just don't take accountability responsibly. In conclusion, I hope that each one of us, I know that when I do stand before him, when this brief journey here on this earth is over, I think about Matthew 25:23, where the rich man is talking to his servants. And I would love to think that the Lord Jesus Christ will one day say this. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I'm going to ask Mark if he'll dismiss us this evening.